Man, I'm a proud papa, even though they're not my kids and I ain't old enough to be their daddies. But, you know, soon I'm not going to be able to say that, which is frightening, but amen. Before I get into my message, I wanted to lift up a couple that's joining us today. And they will be joining us permanently very soon. Stephen and Roxanne Little, if you guys could stand up, please. I know many of you guys know them. They are a couple that's going to be working with our campus students. They're here for the weekend looking for a house. So pray for them for that decision. But please be praying that their home in Gainesville sells very quickly. We need to be keeping them in our prayers. Amen? We're very excited that you guys are here this weekend. You Raise Me Up. What an amazing song. And I think these guys did a fantastic job. You know, every time I hear this song, I can't help but to think about who God is for me. And when I hear this song, it really helps me to understand that it's God alone who raises me up. I want us to listen. I want you to listen to the lyrics. You know, it's very hard in the emotion of the song to hear it, but I want you to hear it right now. It says, when I am down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdens be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up so I can walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to be more than I can be. And the second verse is, there is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come, I am filled with wonder. Sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. You know, when we listen to these words and reflect on its message, we cannot put this on a person. This song could not be written for a relationship other than your relationship with God. You know, so many times we put this on a person, on a relationship with a spouse, a boyfriend or a girlfriend. No one can lift us up the way God does. This morning I want to talk about two things of why God chooses to raise us up. First, I believe that God raises us simply because he loves us. Look over in Jeremiah 50. You know, God is our Father. And being our Father, he wants to raise us up to be happy and to be healthy. All right, are there any fathers in the room? Yes. Amen. You guys can relate, and so can moms, about wanting to raise our children up to be happy and to be healthy. But aren't those terms kind of relative in the world we live in today? You know, a lot of people look for happiness in a lot of things other than God. People want to be raised up on people's shoulders that were never designed to raise people up. When we put our hearts in relationships other than God, we will always be let down. In Jeremiah 50, starting in verse 6, it says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam on mountains. They wandered over mountain and hill. They forgot their own resting place. Whomever found them devoured them. Their enemies said, we're not guilty, for they sinned against the Lord, their true pasture, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. You know, this is an amazing scripture that talks about Jeremiah speaking the words of God to the people of Israel. And so often as disciples, we can read our scriptures, read the Bible, and look at Israel and kind of scoff at them. And kind of look down on them and say, man, don't you remember how God raised you up? Don't you remember how God took you out of bondage, of being slaves, and has done so much for you? How quickly it's easy for us to do that, but we forget that it's so easy for us to do the same thing. It's so easy for us to forget that we're simple sheep looking for God who is intended and designed to be our pasture. I don't know if there's any shepherds up in the room today. I'm guessing not. But back in the day, that is a huge occupation, right? You know, as we read the Bible, we need to kind of understand some of these concepts. What's a pasture? A pasture is where the animals go and they receive the majority of their nutrients. What is God called here? He's called their true pasture. You know, today, are you looking at God to meet your needs? Are you looking at God to receive your nutrients? Are you looking to man? Are you looking to the world? Are you looking to sin to fulfill that emptiness in your heart that only God was designed to fill up? You know, I thank God for his immense love for us. You know, when we think about God, God is not a respecter of persons, as the Bible says. But yet he decides to stoop down to make us great. What have we done to deserve that? Nothing. But the fact is, like a good father, like the daddy that we all want, he loves us enough to stoop down to make us great. Look over in Matthew 9. You know, it's very interesting in the scripture how the enemies felt that they were innocent about persecuting the sheep of God. You know, the world around us feels innocent when they do anything against us, especially when we call ourselves disciples and they watch us being hypocritical. What does it mean to be a hypocrite? It means knowing the good we ought to do and not doing it, right? It means saying, Jesus, Jesus, I love you, and then using that same mouth to curse or to bring ill against anyone. God never intended to raise us up to do such things. God wants us to raise us up beyond what our natural ability to do by ourselves. He also wants to raise us up past our workplaces, past the homes that we might live in where the standard is not discipleship. God doesn't want us to remain. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. God wants to put us on a different level. And it's not to raise us up for our own benefit. This is all about him. I'm going to talk about that in the second point. But this point is about how God loves us. Look over in Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You know, it's amazing how, when we really stop and think about it, who Jesus was, who Jesus is, how he made a decision to leave heaven, to leave perfection, to leave the side of God, to come down to be a sacrificial lamb. How many of us are willing on a daily basis to be sacrificed? And Jesus decided to leave perfection. That's amazing. He didn't do this just to follow the marching orders of God. He did this because he loves us. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. If we don't realize that God loves us, we're going to just go through the motions, guys. We're just going to come to church, whether it be on Sunday or Thursday or Bible talk or whatever talk we talk about Jesus. And it's just going to be us going through the motions. God doesn't raise up our lives to be different simply for different sake. He has a purpose. But what was his purpose? It's because he loves us. You know, it's amazing how Jesus, being perfect, not being a man of sin, can stand around people that are filthy spiritually and not have disdain on them. As they approached him and as he saw them coming, he looked at them with compassion. How do you look at the people around you with? How do you look at people that come up to you and that are screaming to be raised up in the Bible? To be raised up from the situation that they're in. You see the sin, they're filthy with sin. How did your Lord look at them? How did Jesus treat them? He never treated anyone. I can't find one scripture where Jesus spoke down to anyone that was sinful. He actually spoke against those who were hypocritical. He went after the Pharisees. He went after the teachers of the law. Why? Because they claimed to have the truth, but yet they were living lives contradictory to what they were preaching. God wants to raise us up to have compassion on people. Amen. To be able to look at somebody coming and saying, you know what? Because of Jesus, I love you. Amen. And I want to help you. I don't want to just share my faith because my Bible talk leader is going to ask me. Or somebody's going to say, hey, how's your week going? Have you been in your Bible today? I'm in my Bible because I love God. And I want to know him more. You know, it's flat out challenging to know God loves me the way he does. You know, so many times we walk around in life and we have this self-esteem issue. Why would God love me? Why would God die for me? I didn't ask him to do this. He didn't need us to ask him. He knew what we needed and he did it. Thank God we don't have to wait around for him to wait for us to ask him. Man, we'd be in trouble. Because most of the time we don't even know what we need. You know, the Bible calls us sheep for a reason. Let me let y'all know, sheep aren't the smartest on the farm, you know what I'm saying? God isn't insulting us by calling us sheep. It's just the truth. The cool thing about knowing the truth is, you can do something about it. You're a sheep no matter what you do. But you know, the smart sheep listens to the shepherd. You know, there was a quote that I want to read you guys from Moody's Anecdotes. It's a book that I was reading. And it says, Dr. Andrew Bonner told me how in the highlands of Scotland, a sheep would often wander into the rocks and get into places they couldn't get out of. The grass of these mountains is very sweet, and the sheep like it. And they will jump down 10 to 12 feet, but then they can't jump back up again, and the shepherd hears them bleeding in distress. They may be there for days until they've eaten all the grass. I guess that's when they would die. The shepherd will wait until they were so faint and cannot stand, and then he would put a rope around them and he would lift them out of the jaws of death. He says, why didn't they go down there when the sheep first get there? I asked. He says, they are so foolish that they would dash right over the rocks and be killed if the shepherd went to grab them at that point. And that is the very way with man. They won't go back to God until they have no friends and have lost everything. If you are ever a wanderer, I tell you that God, the good shepherd, will bring you back the moment you have given up trying to save yourself and are willing to let him save you in his own way. Man, we're just a bunch of silly sheep. We're silly. I don't want to use the S word because we don't use that word in my house. But we're just silly. We run away from the one that can change us. The one who does so through love. The shepherd goes to try to rescue the sheep. And the sheep's so crazy, it's like, and it kills itself. How often do we do the same thing? The minute somebody comes up to you and says, brother, I see something in your character. You know, we want to run the other way. We run towards the rocks. We run to Satan's open arms. Instead of going to the Father who sent this brother or sister to come help you out. Guys, we need to become smart sheep. Smart sheep hear the master's voice. We hear the shepherd's voice and we run to him. Look over in Luke 15. Luke 15, starting at verse 3. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Guys, this is the heart of your Father. This is the heart of the one who has the power to rescue us no matter where we are. I'm going to say it again. He has the power to rescue you no matter where you are. You could be fronting and acting the part, and God can still rescue you. You could be coming to church and it's not really penetrating, and God's the one who says, come on, come to me. I can make this real for you. Because this is not about religion, it's about relationship. You know, this is a teen service, and I get the privilege to work with the teens. One thing I love about the teens is there ain't no front in the teens. They're very honest and they're very open about who they are and where they're at. Some of the teens I go to, you, well, do you like to study the Bible? No. They're not going to engage in an activity that they're not about. And I appreciate that. You know that southern expression, bless his heart. You know I make fun of that all the time. Because it just means he's an idiot. It just means he's ultra silly. Why can't you just be honest and stop saying that? But that's another sermon. But one thing I love about the teens is when they're in it, they're in it. They were in it when they were singing that song. These guys for weeks, if not months, have been practicing that song. I've challenged them to go listen to the song so that they can ingest the message. We're not actors on a stage. I don't stand here to preach to you what's not in my heart. That would make me an actor. I am not an actor. I am a minister and a preacher because I am preaching out of my convictions. If I had nothing to say, like Richard always says, sit down and be quiet. These teens, and I've been teaching them, and all the other adults that have been working with them, praise God for the kingdom, have been teaching them, if you have nothing to say, sit down and be quiet. They had something to say, and it was very powerful. I'm very encouraged with the teens. My second point is this. I believe that God raises us up to stand in the gap between a lost world and himself. Look over in Deuteronomy 18. You know, one thing before I move on from the scripture that I love about what Jesus did. You know, the parable talks about the shepherd stoops down, picks up the sheep, and puts it on his neck. And he carries it home. Did you notice that that the shepherd never kicked the sheep? Seriously, think about that. What did you do the last time your dog ran out? I know I swatted it a couple of times. I didn't hit it. I just swatted it. Don't come talk to me after service now. I told you I didn't hit the dog. But a lot of times we get frustrated when people aren't towing the line. When they're not doing what we feel that they need to do. If God is not looking to kick somebody, why are you? You know, it's so much more effective to love people than to chastise people. It's so much more effective. I see it in my children. I see it in my wife. I see it in all my relationships. When I take the time to figure the right words to say. And it takes being deliberate. It takes stopping in the moment and saying, you know what? I may be angry right now. I may have all these emotions going on. But if I love them enough, I'm going to take the time to figure out what they need to hear, not what I'm willing to say. It's so much easier to go kick somebody than it is to say, okay, this is where they're at. And I'm going to help them where they're at. Isn't that how the shepherd is to us? He meets us exactly where we're at, and he doesn't kick us. He picks us up and carries us home out of love. I think that that is phenomenal. I also believe that God wants us to be that gap, to stand in that gap between a lost world and himself. Deuteronomy 18, starting in verse 15, it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see his great fire anymore, or we will die.' The Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. You know, I know I'm speaking to a room of a bunch of disciples up in here, so I'm thinking you understand who he's talking about. But just so that you can see it very clearly, let's look over in Acts 3. You know, as I was studying this out, I was reading commentaries and reading different things, and, you know, it's so funny. It's like the Bible scholars say this, and all the smart people say that. You know what? The Bible says it very clearly, too. Peter was the first Bible scholar in the New Testament in Acts 3, starting in verse 17. He totally clears it up who God is speaking about here. Acts 3:17 says, "Now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ, who has been appointed to you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.'" Here you have Peter standing up, preaching the good news to people he had just healed, the crippled beggar. And they were thinking that this power came from Peter. And Peter, like a smart disciple, says, "Don't look at me. Look at the shepherd. I don't have the power to do anything." Do you think about that about yourself? Now listen to me. I'm not saying you don't have the power to do anything, because that would mean that God did not give us power to do anything. That's not the truth. But the truth is, do not take credit for things that you're doing that God has not allowed you to do. Amen. Did you get that? It's about humility. We need to be very encouraged that God has allowed us to be part of this journey. That he is allowing us to be Christians, little Christs, like his son. But they're not looking to be John's or Richard's or anybody else's. He's pointing to Jesus. We get up here and we preach and people say, "Good job, good job." Guess what? I didn't write this. And neither did you when you share your faith. We need to give this credit to the one who wrote this, which is God. Amen. You know, lately I've been thinking about the mind, thinking about how the mind really, you know, everything comes from the mind. If you're in a great mood, guess what? It's because of your mind. It's because you're focusing on good things. You know, when we focus what our thoughts are, no matter what our circumstance is, life is good. Isn't that an amazing thing? But when your thinking is stinking, you could be in the money. You could have great things like so many successful people are and be utterly depressed. So I've been listening to Deepak Chopra. You know, just, hey, why not? You know what I'm saying? And I listened to the Dalai Lama just to, yeah, what has he got to say? He has some great things to say, but I was sharing with Richard. It's amazing. As they're speaking, I hear scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. These guys have great concepts. They all come from God, and these men do not give credit to who they got them from. Guys, we need to understand who these great ideas came from in the first place. Deepak Chopra, amen for what he does. But if we go to the scriptures, we find the same message. God is a God that wants to raise us up like he did Jesus to stand in the gap between us and a lost world. God is not going to come down in the flesh until it's the last day. Jesus is going to return and call his disciples back to himself, and the world will be judged. But that will be too late for those that are lost. Guess what? God has put himself in flesh, and this is us. We're the ones that are supposed to stand between lost man and bring them to God. Now, is it my responsibility whether they make it or not? Absolutely not. I did not die for anyone. These are not my words. These are his. But it is my responsibility to say, "Come, let me introduce you to Jesus." Amen. And leave them there. Amen. And give them instruction. Amen. Mostly to give them encouragement. God got this covered, guys. We don't have to make this very complicated. You know, sometimes we say, how do I share my faith? What do I need to do? Open your mouth. That's where it starts. We don't need to have a script. We are not telemarketers. We are disciples that love people. We need to have compassion on people. We need to open our mouths based on compassion, and God will fill us with His Spirit and get the job done. You know, God first raised Jesus from the dead. And praise God, because if He didn't, we'd be here for no reason. But He did this so that we would imitate Him and also let our lives be raised up so that we could be more than we could be without Him. I'll end in this scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, but those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Guys, this week and for the rest of our lives, let's run around like people that are totally convinced that God is the only one who can raise us up. To God be the glory. Amen. No, that's okay. Thank you.
One of the challenging things to do in life, even as you read scripture, is to make sure that this faith that we have in this great God, that we pass it on to the next generation. And it's a lot of work. And you've heard the saying that it takes a village to raise a child. To know that the fact that we believe in God and we love God doesn't mean that the kids that we have and are coming right behind us are going to do the same thing. And every week, John and Marisabel, the Rowles, the Flowers, Derek and Gergie, and many others are in there week in and week out, instructing these kids, talking to them, pulling them aside, and I praise God that they're listening. Because one day you and I are not going to be here. And we're going to turn this church over to these kids. And they will need to continue what we've started. And I'm so glad that, you know, they were able to do this morning. And they've done a fantastic job. Church, let's put our hands together for just the awesome job they did this morning. I know very soon, you know, you guys are going to tell me, Richard, sit down. Let these kids preach. That day is coming. It's okay. I'm getting myself ready. There's a lot of people in the world. Amen. We're raising them up so that they can take our jobs. That's the whole point. Next Sunday, we're going to be here, but we're going to be having lunch in here. Because next Sunday is our International Sunday. Damien Jean-Baptiste from Bridgetown, Barbados is going to be with us. And we will have the main service in the auditorium. And then we'll come here and, you know, this place will be filled with chairs and little, little stools. And we get to sample all the food we are all going to cook. Amen? And so, again, I'm going to encourage you next Sunday, get up a little earlier because you're going to need to warm up the food. Drop it off over here, all right? There are going to be some kids helping out, bringing the food in. Drop off the food. Go drop off the kids, the nursery to fifth grade, and everybody else will be in the auditorium. Then we'll have a great time of service over there. Let's use this week to continue to, you know, use this. Give them all out. Follow up on people who have committed to coming. And then we will come in here after service and have lunch together. Amen. It's going to be a great, great time. So let's be praying about next Sunday and working hard towards it. God is going to be glorified. At this time, Audie is going to come and lead us in a closing prayer.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for being the Father that you are. Thank you so much for giving us each and every day. Father, you are truly amazing. Father, as we come together today just to remember you, Father, to give thanks for you, and to really just be gracious for what we have. Father, thank you for the service that was just that just came about, Father. Father, for the teens and their hearts. Father, for the way that they truly, truly love you. Father, like John said, they are so pure. They are so direct. Father, if you ask them a question, you're going to get a straight-up answer. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for giving them the heart and the abilities that they have. Thank you for their love. Father, thank you for their patience, for just dealing with us, Father, as we try to guide them and strengthen them in each and every day. Father, thank you so much for just giving us the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your Son. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Before I dismiss everybody today, I just want to say, Jalen, you got a second? We're just going to perform one song for you, and here we go.